Nuketown Radioactive number 68 for Wednesday, May 28th, 2008. On this edition of Nuketown Radioactive, it's all Balticon all the time as I recap my trip to the science fiction convention, talk about the panels I attended, catch up with some old friends and find some new ones, and talk about the new audio and video podcasts I discovered at the convention. Well, folks, welcome to Nuketown Radioactive. I am your host, Ken Newquist, and this is the occasional podcast about life, liberty, and the pursuit of geekdom. And I'm back from Balticon. It was fantastic. And, well, I guess I should back up for a second and explain what the heck Balticon is. It is basically a science fiction convention that is held in Baltimore, technically just outside of Baltimore. And it was just amazing. As with Gen Con 2007, I had this awesome opportunity to talk to folks whom I've been following or chatting with or just, you know, friends with online for years, but have never had the opportunity to meet face to face and have those just kind of like casual real-time conversations that, well, normal people have. And I got to do it at Balticon. It was just wow, it was just really amazing. So I got to see Doug Rapson from the Geek Acres podcast, Mer Lafferty, Jason Adams, JC Hutchins, MA and PA, the Breakalls. In short, everyone whom I've been listening to, chatting with on Twitter, or otherwise following for the last few years online, I got to run into in Balticon, at least on the geeky side of things. Not so much the gaming podcast side of things. All of those folks I ran into at Gen Con, and presumably I'd be following again if I was going to Gen Con this year. But, man, wow, where to even begin? Balticon was just, the con itself is actually a fairly well-rounded convention. It covers science fiction and fantasy from pretty much all the different angles you could expect, including anime, books, movies. I mean, honestly, movies and anime are shown throughout the entire weekend in a room dedicated just to showing those things. That was just pretty cool. There was a fairly diverse exhibition hall for shops and such. I mean, nowhere near the scale of Gen Con. I mean, the Gen Con exhibition hall, you can get lost in for days. I was there for, 4 days at Gen Con, and I still don't think I managed to see everything. Balticon's showroom floor was considerably smaller, but still had a pretty good mix. There were a smattering of gaming stuff, a whole bunch of book dealers, people selling autographed copies of such things, novels and such, and generally just a really good cross section of stuff you might expect to find at a science fiction convention. I didn't actually buy anything at the con because, well, going down there, I knew I had a gazillion books that I needed to read, and actually, I'll be talking about that on an upcoming podcast where I talk about my summer reading list. So I really restrained myself and didn't go hog wild with getting additional books, even though I was sorely tempted. But you know, it was nice to know that it was down there. There was a masquerade. There were costume judging contests. There was a couple of different live musical acts, including George Harab, and just, wow, I mean, just something for everything. I mean, I think you could go to Balticon with, you know, a dozen different agendas and have each one of those agendas satisfied. Now, for me, it was really just about meeting folks whom I've been friends with for years and at the same time, you know, learning some new stuff. And I'm going to get into more about that in Netheads, where I'm basically going to be running down all the podcasts and stuff that I learned about at Balticon that either I was only vaguely aware of before or just found out about at the con. And I think the overall experience was just really, really just great. I mean, my only regret with Balticon is that I was not there for Friday night, where they had the new media meet and greet, which was something like 11 o'clock at night. But still just fantastic. I know I'm just kind of babbling on and repeating myself, but ultimately it was just fun, you know? I mean, to be able to sit down and talk to Jason Adams or Murr for, you know, an hour or so over beer and martinis or whatever was really just nice, you know, and to just be kind of like walking along and get into a conversation with J.C. Hutchins or any of these other folks like Indiana Jim was just really, really nice. It's hard to, you know, when you're used to having these conversations online, as Doug from Geek Acres was pointing out, you know, when we talk on Twitter, everything's in 140 characters and everything's time shifted and, you know, conversations can stretch out over the course of an entire day. And when you're commenting on each other's podcasts or if you're just listening to podcasts, you're getting like these little bursts of information. In the case of podcasts, occasionally, you know, an extended burst of information, but, you know, it's not actually talking to folks. And to be at the con and just to have that chance to just relax and hang out was really, really nice. The panels themselves were also pretty cool. I have a whole bunch of stuff up on Nuketown talking about the different panels that I went to. I took copious notes for most of them, but for example, some of the stuff that I was looking at was how the internet helps small presses publish books, panel why writing can't be taught and how to teach it, crowdsourcing, video podcasting 101, the live takeover at Balticon 42, and just a bunch of other stuff. So I have blog posts about all of those things up on the site, and you can find them by going to www.nuketown.com/Balticon. So I think ultimately lesson learned, I definitely want to go to Balticon again because, well, it was just cool. But I think next time around, I'll probably go Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It was still nice to leave on Sunday night. I mean, the only downside to that is I didn't get to say goodbye to everyone, which I don't know if I'd actually have had the chance to do that if I'd stayed until Monday. But, you know, the nice side to coming back Sunday night as opposed to Monday was to be able to have the Monday that I could spend with my family. You know, it's Memorial Day weekend. We get together with picnics with my wife's family. So it was nice to be able to still do that, but still have this whole con-long experience. I will say that having gone to the convention, the other thing I'd really like to do next summer is go to Origins, which is the other really big gaming convention. That's a con that Murr has traditionally gone to, and I think if there's one thing that I'd like to do that I haven't done yet is actually sit down at a gaming table and game with Murr. I mean, having a whole weekend of games and being able to play like Arkham Horror or something would just be really, really cool. So I'm going to be gunning to go to Origins next year in 2009. And I think I'm going to be able to get my gaming group to go online with this because online with this, I meant along with this. Anyway, I think I'm going to be able to get them to go along with this because it's something we've been talking about. There's this sense in the group that we really want to try out Origins. Been to Gen Con a bunch of times. So, you know, it's time to try something new. And Origins has just always had a really good vibe associated with it. And I think that next year is probably just a perfect time to go to the con. So if I seem kind of hyper excited right now, it's because I've had way too much caffeine today because I have not been getting a lot of sleep the last couple of days. It turns out, I don't know what the official diagnosis is here, but my kids are driving us insane because they're just not getting enough sleep. Luke has had some sort of, we're guessing, inner ear infection because the kid just hasn't slept since Sunday. Actually, I think I'm misremembering that. He hasn't slept since Monday night. Now, I should restate this to say that, okay, actually he has slept, but he hasn't slept normally. He's been up at like 1 o'clock in the morning until like 3 in the morning midnight until 3 in the morning. So it's just really playing havoc with our sleep schedules and we're just completely exhausted. And then throw into that, Jordan's been having, she's had, I think like 2 bloody noses this week, which I don't know if you folks have ever had this experience with your kids, but it's just an all around kind of terrifying moment for everyone. Not so much because, I shouldn't say terrifying. I guess I should just say stressful. Because, you know, it freaks them out when they get a bloody nose because, you know, well, there's all this blood, right? And then it freaks you out because now you have to run and find towels and try and, you know, get everything under control, clean up the mess. And to have two of these over the course of the last couple of days has just been tough, combined with Luke not really sleeping well and jumping from one emergency to the next and going to work, it has just been, well, exhausting. But that's why we have caffeine, right? And that's the reason why I'm just so excitable right now. Between remembering Balticon and having two cups of coffee before noon, well, woohoo, Ken is flying. Now, despite the fact that I am sleep deprived, I do have to say that going to Balticon really kind of supercharged my creative brain. I've been thinking about podcasting some short fiction of mine this summer, and I've also been thinking about starting up a second game review podcast to test out some of the new technology that I've been playing with, specifically video enhanced podcasts and such like that. And my question for all of you is, how would you like to see that material distributed on Nuketown? Would you want such supplemental material to show up in the main Radioactive feed? Would you want the option of individual feeds for side projects as well as a global non-radioactive all-inclusive podcast feed? I'm curious. I don't want to start throwing stuff into the feed and kind of spamming everybody with getting too much content. I'm not expecting that there'd be a huge amount more stuff. You know, we might have one short story a month. There might be one additional podcast a month, that sort of thing. But, you know, I also don't want to disrupt what people are used to. So give me an email at nuketown@gmail.com and let me know what you think. So in feedback this week, I got an email from a new listener, Jonathan, who writes, "I just started listening to your podcast and I wanted to say you're doing a great job. I wanted to comment about, I think it was in episode 64 and 65, about if Star Wars is too graphic for five-year-olds. I would say it depends, because I started to watch Star Wars when I was 4 going on 5, and it didn't bother me. Because like you said, there are certain scenes in the movie that might be bad for someone that age, but it depends on the parent if they should let their five-year-old watch it." And I completely agree. Like Jonathan, I really didn't have any problem with Star Wars when I was a kid. I think I was about 5 and a half when I watched it. And honestly, things like the fate of Luke's aunt and uncle didn't really bother me because I didn't really catch it. It just kind of went over my head. And I think any of the really scary parts, like, Darth Vader's management techniques and the arrival of the Sand People, were, I think, almost immediately offset by blaster rifles, the very, very cool lightsabers, and starfighters. I mean, honestly, I think as a little kid, those were the things that caught my imagination, and those were the things that ultimately I fixed on over the next 30-odd years of my life. So I have to agree that it really depends on the kid, and it's really just kind of a judgment call for each parent. So anyway, thanks to Jonathan for the feedback, and welcome to the podcast. Now, I did want to mention one bit of Nuketown news. It hasn't been all Balticon. I did post my first hoax debunking in quite a while, which is the attack of the backseat stabbing driver, which is basically a debunking of a really old hoax in which a knife-wielding lunatic hides out in the backseat of a car, and then a woman... he's hiding in the backseat of the car while a woman is refueling her car. The gas station attendant comes up to her and says, "Oh, no, you must come back in." And that's when he tells her about the lunatic who is in the aforementioned backseat. So it's an interesting hoax. It actually dates back to the 1960s, if you can believe that. And I just pretty much have a roundup of what the hoax is, and then some links to sources debunking it. So you can check that out on the website at www.nuketown.com.
Managers, do you have problems with workers coming in late, leaving early, and taking too long of a lunch break? Let's face it, employees these days are not hardworking. They're too busy checking email, reading blogs, chatting with their new friend in Sweden, who's really a hairy guy from Duluth, or, God forbid, listening to podcasts, to be of any real use to you. This is where Zombank can help you. We are, among other things, a zombie placement service that will supply you with workers that will work tirelessly around the clock. They don't need breaks. They don't need Social Security. And if there's a workplace accident, there's none of that pesky short-term disability or lawsuits. Simply return the damaged zombie to us, and you'll be supplied with a new one. Think of Zombink when you see that lifeless, uninterested look in your living employee's eyes. At least with zombies, that lifeless, uninterested look will be on the face of a hard worker. Zombink can supply you with workers for construction, farming, security, janitorial services, and web design. And we're adding new services every month. please visit our website at zombink.net to order your own service today. Clients of Zombink are responsible for the well-being of their human employees, customers, and visitors. Employ zombies at your own risk. All mutilations, dismemberments, death, or the transfer of the zombie curse to the responsibility of the client, not Zombink. You're hiring zombies. What do you expect?
And now NetHeads, where I get to geek out about all the cool stuff that I discovered at Balticon. First and foremost, Zombink. This is an upcoming podcast by Mer Lafferty and Jason Adams that began as a video project while they were working at Lulu, but then they lost their jobs and the project went into limbo. So now it's back as an audio drama, and I got to hear the first two episodes debut at Balticon 42, which was really cool. There were, I don't know, maybe 50 people in the room, and J.R. Blackwell led us all in a rousing singing of R.E. Your Brains, which is apparently the theme song for the new podcast, and then they launched into the meat of the first episode, which features Zombink, which is a company in which the upper-level management are all zombies, taking over a web development company. It was pretty amusing. I mean, it's kind of like, Shaun of the Dead meets The Office. So I thought that it was pretty amusing. I mean, obviously it was really rough at Balticon, and not everybody was in the roles that they'll be playing in the finished version, and I'm sure that the finished version will be a lot more polished. But all in all, I thought it was pretty damn funny. So you'll be able to check this out in June when it'll be released as a full-blown 10-episode. Audio drama. And from what I understand, Murr's got a couple of seasons of this planned out if everything goes well. So I gotta think everything's gonna go well. I mean, it was pretty damn amusing. You can check it out at zombink.net. And of course, as always, links to this stuff will be in the show notes. The next one that I want to talk about is The Culture Cast, which is a podcast by two geeks fueled by obsession and snark. It is pretty funny. I've just started listening to it since I got back, so I can tell you that there's the hosts, Susan Z and Biscuit, have a really good rapport and just, funny, amusing dialogue flying back and forth. But I will warn you that it is in no way family or work safe. So this is probably a better podcast for the commute. Next up is Stranger Horizons, which is a video podcast about ordinary people stumbling into the secret worlds of aliens. I'm not exactly sure what that word is I just spelled. Aliens and angels and other various supernaturally kind of things. The stories expose the bizarre and extraordinary things that are happening all around us every day. I haven't had a chance to watch any of the shows yet. I think there's 4 episodes up right now. And the big news of the con was that these folks have picked up a distribution deal with one of the bigger cable stations. But unfortunately, I don't remember exactly which one it was, because I didn't actually go to their presentation, and they don't have any information up about it on their website, but I'm sure they will have something up soon. You can find it at www.strangerthings.tv. And I mean, the sense I got from everybody else at the con was that this is a pretty good video podcast, really well produced, and it looks cool. And I think this is the kind of stuff I'd love to see more of on the web. And I'm looking forward to checking it out. Well, one of these fine nights when I have a few spare minutes and my kids aren't driving me crazy. Next up, the Balticon podcast, which features interviews with folks at the con, news about the convention, so forth. I didn't really listen to this before the show because it didn't seem like they had a lot of stuff up going into the con, but I just checked it and it looks like there's stuff coming up after the con. So if you didn't get a chance to go to Balticon, here is your chance to catch up on what happened. You can find it at balticonpodcast.org. And finally, this is just more of a reminder to myself. There is a new convention finding service called Containment, which is at greententacles.com. Specifically, it's containment.greententacles.com. It was put together by my friend Nathan Lilly, and it's basically a sci-fi convention finder. So you go to the site, you type in your zip code, and boom, it spits out the conventions that are in the area. I think it also does gaming conventions as well, so pretty nifty. Now, the last thing I wanted to talk about is that I have bookmarked all of the things that I found interesting at Balticon, at least that had websites, and you can find them on my Delicious page at delicious.nukehavoc.Balticon42. And now that I think about it, I would be remiss if I didn't mention one more thing, which is J.C. Hutchins has a new podcast coming out. It is Seventh Son Obsidian. And basically what this is a cool concept. Basically what he's done is he's gone back into his Seventh Son trilogy of novels and focused on the event of the blackout and asked a whole bunch of podcasters and his fans to contribute stories about that time period in the novel. So he's kind of going back in and fleshing some things out and explaining certain events, and I think it's a really cool idea. You can find that at jchutchins.net.
Okay, sure. MacMod Live is a Macintosh podcast, but we don't exactly bow down and drink the Kool-Aid. In fact, we take that hardware that Apple has so carefully created, and we take it apart. We're talking case mods, overclocking, software hacks, interviews, live event coverage,
and more.
Join us at MacMod.com every week as we find new and better ways to void our warranties. We have open discussions about hot Apple topics. We share a fresh twist on Apple news that you won't find anywhere else. And as if that wasn't enough, we also hold regular contests. We've got some sweet gear we want to give away, but you've got to listen to the podcast to get it. So head on over to MacMod.com today and look for the Modcast section. You won't be disappointed.
And that'll about do it for this edition of Nuketown Radioactive. Because, folks, I'm tired. I really need a nap. Yes, the caffeine is wearing off. As always, I'm looking for comments. You can send them to me at nuketown@gmail.com, or you can stop by nuketown.com and post a comment on the show notes. I will say that we are on the very threshold of a major milestone for Nuketown. We are a mere 10 comments away from 500 comments on Nuketown, which is just really freaking cool, since not too long ago, I think only a mere month ago, we were probably at 400. So yeah, the new comment system is definitely working. Looking ahead to the upcoming issues of Radioactive, you can expect some conversation about my summer plans, a look at my summer reading list, and a discussion of just how the heck do you get a geek to relax.